It's always a pleasure to come up here and just be in service. I would like to say this. I'd whole lot rather that God would bless somebody and His Spirit would be free in our service and do anything I can do, because without Him, I can do nothing but make a mess. And I can do that. I've been that way all my life. And I was born a problem child. I was born right in the middle of the Great Depression. And I found out just a few days ago, the day I was born, in an old rundown shack. I'm sure it was run down, because that's what we lived in ever since I can remember. In Morgan County, Alabama. And it was 111 degrees that day. Never been hotter on history in Morgan County, Alabama, before or since. And they didn't know what air conditioning was. Open the doors and windows. So I come along, and I was just kind of getting a little sorry for myself, I guess. There was four kids born before me and four kids after me. I just happened to be one that was just a problem coming around right there when everybody was on starvation. But you know, there's one thing I am thankful for today. I'm thankful that God let me live through all that. And I've experienced things that I got a little grandson. I always got to mention him. He's 9 months old now, and I grabbed him up and carried him off up to the restaurant to show him off the other day. And we was sitting there talking with the old man. See, that's the old man sits around and they dream dreams now. When you're young, you have visions. But when you get old, you sit around there and you dream about those visions you had when you was young. And we sitting around there talking about some folks call them the good old days. They wasn't good days at all. I can tell you that right up front. Man, I used to get up and go out to work in the morning, waiting for it to get daylight, when I was just a little kid that you wouldn't even think about letting your kid do the kind of work I was doing. And I was wishing when the sun come up that it was going down. It wasn't good days at all. But we was talking about those days, and I said, well, I seen a change from, I didn't even know what it was to see an automobile on the road. Where we lived, an automobile couldn't even get there anyway. Horse and buggy days, and I've seen it all the way up to people going to the moon. I've seen a great change. But you know what? I looked at that little old boy and I thought, Lord, if God lets him live and lets this thing stand until he is as old as I am, what will he see? Well, one thing is for sure. He won't know what we're the good life. We're living right now. We have the opportunity to be living the best life that we have ever known. Gert, you know it's the truth. Boy, I'll tell you, I go out across some cotton fields right now and I say, man, I'm glad I don't have to pick cotton anymore. I'm glad I don't have to get out there and plow that stuff anymore. What I do might be just as hard to work, but I'm glad I'm not picking cotton or plowing cotton or hoeing cotton or digging potatoes or throwing hay. I'm glad I don't have to do that anymore. We're living in, listen, I was 7 years old. My younger brother was 4 years old, Charlie. And he had a birthday the other day, and I got to thinking about it. He was 4 years old, and I was 7 years old. We was all by ourselves riding a mule together. And he was standing up behind me, holding his arms out like that to prove he could do it, and fell off the mule, and I pulled me off on my head. You wouldn't think about letting your kid off like that. But not only that, we moved down into a place called John Black Holler right next to the river. And some of those kids could just disappear. Well, they wouldn't even miss us till the evening time. We come up through that sort of time. And now we do everything we can. We want our kids to have all the things that we wanted so bad, and we spoiled them to death. But guess what? I like it. I like to spoil them. I do what I can for them. But the main thing that I want to talk about is there is still a God. And he's real. And when everything else fails, he's still God. And he's still real. And when we have tried and done everything we can do, then if we will just quit trying to do it and put it on the altar to God, he'll take care of it. If I've learned anything in my lifetime, I learned that God will answer prayer when people affectionately and fervently pray to God. And in these latter days, I found out that people hardly ever do that anymore. You used to never hear among God's people saying, "Say a prayer for me." That's the way most of our praying is done now, by saying a quick prayer. I'm going to tell you something. The Word of God taught and tells you and me the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. To say a prayer don't get us anywhere. It's good to have a prayerful heart, I'm sure. But saying a prayer don't get us somewhere. What gets us somewhere with the Lord is to go down before God, cast down all of our imaginations, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bring into captivity the word. This is a quotation from the scripture, by the way. Bring into captivity every thought unto the obedience of Christ. I'm fishing here. I don't feel like talking. I love the Lord. I love the way of God. But listen, God has said in prophet Jeremiah, "I will give unto you one heart and one way for the good of you and your children after you, that they may fear me forever, all the days of their life." Yeah, there is only one way. God's only given us one heart and one way, and that's all we'll ever have. And the 13th chapter of Luke, third verse, Jesus said, "Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish." He repeated that commandment in the fifth verse, almost right there together. "Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish." Somebody might say, "Well, what in the world does it mean to repent?" It means more than just say, "I repent." It means when people repent, it means we have obeyed our obligation toward God the Father. He said, what does he require of us? Repentance toward God and faith in his Son, Jesus Christ. God requires that if we have committed sin, and if we haven't been born into the family of God by the operation of the Spirit of God, the new birth Jesus tells Nicodemus about, if we haven't been born into that family of God that way, then we're sinners, because he said all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And if we haven't yet been cleansed from our sin, then our first order of things is to hear the Word of God preached. And we have to be mighty careful not to reject what we hear, but to understand that that will bring repentance. He said, "It shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And he went on to say, "But how can you call on him of whom you have not believed? And how can you believe on him of whom you have not heard?" Now, you think how foolish it would be for you to walk out here and start calling maybe somebody over there in the middle of that lake when there's nobody in that lake, because you don't believe there's anybody in that lake. But it would be foolish for you or me to go out here and start calling for them. "Come up out here. I want you to do something." That would be foolish, wouldn't it? He said, "It shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." How then can you call on him of whom you have not believed? We have got to believe there is a God somewhere, and when we call on him, that he will hear our prayer and that he will actually give us an answer. That's called faith. And he said, without faith, it's impossible to please him. The scripture goes on to say, how can we call on him of whom we've not believed? How can we believe on him of whom we've not heard? How can we hear without a preacher? And how can he preach except he be sent? He said, how beautiful are the feet of them that bring glad tidings of good things. Beloved, that's what I'd like to do, is to bring good news. Somebody might say, well, so-and-so preaches the gospel. Well, if he does, he brings good news, because that's the meaning of the gospel. Glad tidings of good things wrought concerning the salvation of men, wrought by the coming of Christ. The gospel is a glad tidings. It shouldn't cause any sort of confusion. It shouldn't cause any disruption, but it should bring joy. I guess I'll read a few verses of scripture here. Like I said, I don't really feel much like talking. I really appreciate Brother Andy and Brother Rusty driving up for me and letting me snooze in the back seat. And that's exactly what happened. He says, what shall we say? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Do you think for one moment that God wants his people to continue committing sin? Somebody said, well, exactly what is sin? Sin is to transgress the laws and the commandments and the teaching of our Lord. And Peter said, our Lord come into this world and left us an example that we should follow in his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. He wasn't a hypocrite about it, and he didn't commit sin. And now he asks us the question, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And then he answers his question and says, God forbid. God forbid that we continue in a sinful lifestyle. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? We tell people they have to die to become a child of God. We tell people the Word of God said they must mortify, that is, put to death their own ways at the feet of the cross of Jesus. And if we do that, he says, how can he ask the question, how can we live any longer in those sins? Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? We put a lot of emphasis on baptism. Do we even know what it means? Methodist preacher friend of mine and I was having lunch together one Sunday afternoon, and it was just pouring down rain, and I had a baptizing on the Tennessee River at 3 o'clock. And I told him, I says, man, I got a baptizing down here on the river. And we sat around there, and it kept raining. I said, you know something? If I was Methodist, I'd just take them for a walk out down the road there, and we'd take care of this all an easy way. So he had to get up and tell his congregation what I'd said that evening. And by come Monday morning, almost everybody in the community knew about it. Baptism means something. It represents the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That Tennessee River, that thing gets muddy, probably got so much stuff in it now till the fish are not fit to eat. Won't cleanse anybody. But it takes people being obedient to the Word of God to be made clean from their sin. Wherefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, And like as Christ raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. If we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likenesses of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall live, also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death has no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body. In our life here, Sister Patsy, we have two natures about us. We were born with a natural mind. Just the mind that an animal is born with, a natural mind, with a natural instinct. When man was created to start with, he was made just a little lower than the angels, but he was made a little higher than all the animals. And the fact that he gave man the ability to choose who he would serve, he made him a free moral agent, a man that could stand up and make choice. Brother Roger, this is the choice I'm making. This is the way I will live. And give his life, and proved it by many, many, many instances when his children would literally die all kind of tormented deaths before they would commit one sin. Speaking with a minister a while back down in Dothan, Alabama, and he was talking about, says, now, they had a little episode down there where he went to church and the minister had committed an abomination. And he says, but says, we have to forgive him. Said, if God will forgive him, we've got to forgive him. I said, well, that sounds good enough. But I said, if that had been your wife that this guy took off with and left the country with, I said, you wouldn't be sitting there saying, I got to forgive him. I said, you want me to tell you what you'd be saying? He says, what? You'd be saying, I'm going to kill that sorry fella. You see, this salvation is not a good speech. It's living what God's word said to do. As I said, I didn't have something made up here. I never do, unless it's just some sort of study that we really need to go into. Let not your sin therefore reign, that is, rule in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Now, when God put us in this world, he gave us a mind, a natural mind. When you turn from your sins, when you come to the place that you know the difference in right and wrong, and you choose to serve God, and God sends the Spirit of his Son Jesus in the person of the Holy Ghost into your life, he said, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith God. One place he said, I'll take away that heart of stone, and I'll give you a heart of flesh. And he said, I'll put my laws into your heart, and I'll write them in your mind. You see, he makes a change there. And I know, Sister Patsy, a little bit about the reality of the power of God. Every once in a while, I had to remind myself what kind of person I was. And I couldn't behave myself a week to save my life when I was out in sin, because I was a sinner. I was sold under sin. My conscience, my mind was defiled. So I went down before God, and I begged God to forgive me of all my past sins. And I didn't think he ever was going to, but he finally did. In the past, forgiveness wasn't good enough. There's something else that he needed to do, and he gives us a promise. He said, if we come to him, he will in no wise turn us away. And if we ask him, he'll forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Well, that unrighteousness that was in my life, brethren, I had to have something that could keep me from going back and doing that same thing again. Boy, I don't like to think about it, Brother Kenneth, but I could be real religious Sunday evening when I went to church and I heard a preacher telling about a place called Hellfire, and talking about the man that went down there and begged for just a touch of water on his tormented tongue, and made me feel like it all was separating me from that place with one heartbeat. Man, I would be religious till I got home. But the next morning something would happen and all that was gone. Because I had no power. The Apostle Paul was in the same shape I was in. He said, when I do good, evil was present with me. I decided I was going to do good, and something would happen, and I would be doing right the opposite. But, beloved, there came a time when there was something come down from a glory land world and moved upon my body. He said, if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead be in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body. I felt the quickening power of God on my mortal body. Somebody said, oh, that means they're going to raise you from the dead. No, when you're raised from the dead, your body will be immortal. Mortal is that which is subject to death. When that power of God touched my body, then I began to understand there is a God somewhere that I hadn't known anything about. I thought I knew about him. I'd used his name in profanity a lot of times, but I didn't know anything about it. Thank God. And after about 3 days and nights of praying, most of all time I was awake and thinking about what a mess I was in, on the fourth night, God looked down, and Jesus did exactly what he promised he'd do. He said, if I go away, I'll pray the Father, and he'll send you another Comforter. St. John 14:26 says the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. And he sent it. And the Holy Ghost is a free gift. Can't earn it. I can tell you that right up front. Because God searched through heaven above, earth beneath, and below the sea, and he couldn't find anything that would bring men and women back to his original purpose for them. Somebody might say, well, what was that purpose? Ephesians tells us, accordingly as God has made choice before the foundation of the world that we should be in him holy and without blame before him in love. It's God's choice, brethren, that we are not running around here with all these faults dragging us down, holding us down. I'll tell you what, when you get home, I imagine y'all got some old log chains around somewhere. Wrap right about 10 of them around you. Then go jump in the river and see how far you can swim. People who got so many faults, they drug down till they worried about me. Oh, Lord, it looks like I can't make it. I can't make it. And you know what they're doing? They're dragging the church right down to the bottom. Beloved, this little place right here, God put it here. God put it here. Y'all claim anything you want to, God still put it here. And God put it here for a purpose. And that purpose is to the upbuilding of His cause in this world. And if we're not careful, we're going to sit around here and drag it and hold it down. And I'm trying my best to stay away from the book of Joshua. I'm trying hard to stay away from it. But I'd love to get there just in a little bit. I don't know. To begin with, there are sinners and there are people that don't commit sin. Talking about the old fella sitting around talking, one of the old boys, friend of mine, been a friend for 60 years, I guess, 65. But he used to, every chance he'd get, he'd start trying to talk religion to me. Knows a lot about religion, he thinks. And a while back, he started it, and I asked him, I says, do you know John 3:16? And of course he quoted it. Most sinning religious folks know John 3:16. Most all of them know it. Give them a chance and they'll quote it. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, and whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And I asked him a question. I said, do you believe that? Absolutely. I said, all right, I want to ask you a question. You believe John 3:16? Do you believe 1 John 3 and 8? Well, I don't know. I don't know what that says. Well, beloved, if you do believe John 3:16, you believe 1 John 3 and 8. It don't matter what it says. If you believe John 3:16 to be the absolute infallible word of God, you believe the same writer when he wrote John, 1 John 3 and 8. He that committeth sin is of the devil. He's a servant of the devil. He's not the servant of God. Now, you wonder why there's not many people receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost today? It's not many people wants to serve God. You remember, it's been on the news a lot lately where they ordained a man. They call him gay. The Word of God calls him a sodomite. One of the low-downest sins of the Bible. God even refers to them as dogs. Beloved, I know people don't like for me to talk like this. And the movement that carries them along, the beast that John saw carrying that religious order. I was even rebuked by some of the folks, says you don't need to talk about the Catholic Church. Now, that's not right. You hurt their feelings. Beloved, I hope they do get their feelings hurt because God called it a great harlot. No wonder. Sin is of the devil. Whosoever commits sin is of the devil. He that committeth sin has not been born of God. He that is born of God doeth not commit sin. Same John that wrote John 3:16. He that is born of God doeth not commit sin, because his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God. Do we believe the Word of God to be the absolute, the Bible to be the absolute, infallible Word of God, or do we believe it just to be another book? that men can manipulate it and make a money racket out of it and all these things. Not so. Neither you, your members, instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then shall we sin? Because we're not under the law, but under grace. God forbid. Know ye not that whom you yield yourselves servants to obey his servants, ye are whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Now what happens when people obeys God's word? Acts 5 and 32, the apostle said, I guess, we, speaking of the children of God, are witnesses of these things, and so also is the Holy Ghost, whom God hath, H-A-T-H, given to them that obeyed him. When people obey God, well, what do they do? What's the great mystery that there's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of religious orders scattered out through the world that's not receiving forgiveness of sins, not forgiving receiving a sanctified life, not receiving freedom from sin? Why, if all you have to do is obey God? Well, what is the obedience of God? Repentance toward God, a turning away from sin, and faith in his Son, Jesus Christ. Somebody said, well, I accept Jesus as my personal Savior. Did you? I'll never forget an old man sitting on the root of a tree way back yonder when I was quite young, with a big chew of tobacco in his mouth, preaching to me. He spit over there and said, well, son, I might go down, but I'll go down believing that Jesus died for my sins. And he talked the real pretty little thing that he'd heard probably all of his life. And I said, well, tell me, sir, do you really believe that? Absolutely. I said, all right. He said, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I said, all right, in the 16th chapter of St. Mark, beginning at the 15th verse, Jesus told his disciples, his apostles, the Great Commission. He says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel unto every creature, and he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned, and these signs shall follow them that believe. Brother Roger, you better get up and help me out here a little bit, because I'm going to get on somebody's toes now. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. Beloved, have you done that lately? That's what I want to know. Have you faced him? Thank God if you faced him lately, and have you seen him have to go? Beloved, if you hadn't, you need to move up a little bit. And I got news for you. You want to tussle, you start it. I had to get rid of one just the other night. And I'm not boasting at all, because I don't know what in the world I'd have done if I hadn't got rid of it. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. Somebody said, oh, he's asking a question there. That's the Jewish affirmative. They shall do it. Now, he's talking about the people that's saved now. He's not talking about the devil doing it. Now, we got records where the devil folks tried it, and they got in serious trouble. We got a record where the Apostle Paul was going along there, and he'd find a maniac over there. Somebody over there was just no filthy devil within them. Just didn't know how to dress, didn't know how to behave themselves, didn't know how to just full of the devil. And in the name of Jesus, Paul cast them out. And he got their attention doing that. Well, that was a Jew, you know, a religious fellow over there. He had some sons. That Jew's name, I believe, was Siva. He had some sons. And they got to watching Paul, and they decided they could do that. Boy, I'll tell you, we got a lot of we got a lot of folks out there that I see an old ignorant fella like myself, and God using them to preach the word of God and try to get it over, and they'll say, "I can beat that. I can do better than that." Well, that's exactly the kind of fellas this was. They said, "Why, we can do that." So they got together and they went out in there and they found them a man that was a possessed with the devil. And they even knew bigger words than Paul did. Boy, we're going to get rid of that devil, you know. They went up there and they said, "We adjure thee in the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches." That man full of the devil looked at him and says, "Paul, I know. I know that holiness preacher over there. Jesus, I know. But who are you?" He tore into them and liked to kill all of them. They had to flee for their life. Jesus said, "These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils." Now, we claim to be believers, don't we, brethren? Got a devil come sneaking into church and he begins to sow discord and all. He don't mean for a couple, three of you to grab him, throw him out to the seat of the pants. He means for you to let the power of God take care of that, but he means for it to be done. "In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues." That's the easiest one, ain't it? Counterfeited more than anything else, I guess, in the so-called holiness movements. Beloved, but I'm going to tell you something. When it's real, it'll edify the soul. Go down to the joints and the marrow of the bone. "They shall take up serpents." Whew. Y'all done any of that lately? "They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover." "If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them." These are signs God put in His church. I'm going to tell you something. When you see a fellow walking in those signs, you'll see a man that's awful easy to get along with. "Yield yourselves servants unto righteousness, as those that are unto God, as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Sin shall not have dominion over you. You are not under the law, but under grace." He said, "You have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine that was delivered unto you. And being made then..." Not next week, but then, "being made free from sin, yield yourselves unto righteousness." Now, the obedience from the heart is to believe on that Jesus that commissioned his preachers. The old man sitting on the root of the tree that put so much emphasis on believing that Jesus had died for him. I says, Do you believe that scripture?" He said, "Absolutely not." I said, "Neither do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You sitting there and tell me you don't believe his word." It's awful easy for us to deceive ourselves. But God's way is a very easy way. It is a simple way. It's a pure way. It's a way of love. It's not a way of fighting. He says, "From whence cometh wars and fighting among you? Cometh they not even hence from the lust that war in your members?" He says, "You war and kill to obtain, and you receive not because you ask not." Then he said, "You ask and you receive not because you ask amiss, that you might consume it upon your own lust." Beloved, today, the greatest thing that we as children of God can do is to go down before God. And I'll tell you about the best way I found in my lifetime is to take a long fast. Because you got to get rid of that appetite first. Because that too is part of the flesh. And go down before God and make sure that that flesh, that natural mind, is brought under subjection to the Spirit of God. As I said, we received a natural mind. When God comes into our life, He gives us a spiritual mind. And from that day forth, there becomes a warfare between the natural mind and the spiritual mind. The natural mind, and I'll tell you, he spells it out in the Word of God, 5th chapter of Galatians. And he tells what defiles a man or a woman in this life and causes them to go down to eternal destruction. And he tells us how we will know, brethren. We can examine ourselves. He said if we would judge ourselves, then we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we're chastened of the Lord, that we be not condemned with the world. You over there on the 5th chapter of Galatians yet? Adultery is the first one. Adultery. Fifth chapter of Galatians. He said, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. They are made known now. God don't want us walking around here in darkness. He makes this thing known. And he said, the works of the flesh, that is the natural, carnal-minded man. The works of the flesh are manifest, which are these, and the first one is adultery. Jesus said in Matthew 24, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. Now, what was it in the days of Noah that stands out so much in people's mind? It was indiscriminately marriage. The Word of God said in the 6th chapter of Genesis, and the sons of God looked upon the daughters of men and saw that they were fair and took unto themselves wives of all whom they chose. Indiscriminately. Didn't matter. Good woman, he chose to marry, he married her. Bad woman, he chose to marry, he married her. This was the children of God now. And man's imagination of man's heart became but evil continually. Thinking about partying. Thinking about what this is going to do. Do this, do that. And Jesus said that's the way it'll be in the coming of the Son of Man. And you can look around you and see if it's that way. And also in Luke's account, he said as it was in the days of Lot. How was it in the days of Lot? The so-called sodomites in that day, they call them gay folks now, but they had free reign of the town, of the city. They had their legal rights. An angel of God couldn't walk down the street in that filthy town. He said, hey, I'd like to tell you something too. Jesus said, no man knows the day nor the hour concerning when this thing's going to wind up. The day or the hour. Have you ever thought that Noah didn't know the day nor the hour when the flood was going to come, but he knew the year? Because God told him. He said, as it was in the days of Lot. Lot didn't know the hour that Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around the plains was going to be destroyed, but the angel, the Spirit of God, was there grabbing him, urging him, get out of this, get out of this, get out of this. This place is going to be destroyed and I can't do anything till you're out of it. Beloved, what I am trying to tell you is we don't know what the day or the hour is, but we know we're in the last days. And that time is coming on people and our children and our loved ones that I see that Thank God, down on their knees, crying out and begging God, being careful what they do, being careful where they go, Sister Myrtle, being careful what they talk about. But the power of God is not free in the altar of God, and it's grieving my soul. Because it means something from that God of glory and that Jesus Christ sitting on the right hand of the throne of God. I began to look down in a heart, Sister Myrtle, and say that heart is ready for me to move in. And I glory to God in the form or in the person of the Holy Ghost. That heart's ready. And he said, I will pray my Father, and he will send you another comforter that may abide with you forever. When Jesus turned his heart and his mind upward toward the Father and said, Lord, that heart's ready. God will send the Holy Ghost. Beloved, and there are people claiming the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, and all kinds of things in this life. But I want you to know, here's what happens. When Jesus said, I will pray the Father, Jesus sitting on the right hand of the throne of God, Jesus is looking at your life. And he goes down, his spirit, he teaches, goes right down to the joints and the marrow of the bone. When he asked the Father, send the Holy Ghost, the Word of God says it's poured out. This is part of the order of things. The Holy Ghost is poured out. And the Holy Ghost fell on those people. That's the past record we have. The Holy Ghost fell on, where's that, house of Cornelius. As Peter started preaching the Word of God, it said the Holy Ghost fell on all them that heard the Word. It was poured out. Peter turned around and asked him, says, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, seeing they receive the Holy Ghost as well as we? While he spoke those words, the Holy Ghost fell on them. Because the Holy Ghost was poured out on them. Then it come to the place. The Holy Ghost, just a free gift. And Jesus made it so plain when he looked at them there that last time, just before he was caught up and left them to go back and sit down on the right hand of the throne of God. You remember what he did? He just turned around and looked at them, and he breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. That's simple, wasn't it? When the Holy Ghost was poured out on them, it fell on them. It was up to them to receive him. When they received him, then he came into their life. When he came into their life and our life, beloved, he didn't just make a shout a little bit and that's the end of it. He did a heart operation. He took away that old heart that just couldn't do without a drink every once in a while. He took away that old heart that just couldn't stay out of the honky-tonks or couldn't stay out of this place and that place and couldn't quit partying and couldn't quit a whole bunch of other stuff. He just took that away. And he replaced it with a heart of love. Man, I want you to know that bunch of black folks that old brother LJ didn't like being down there at church. I want you to know if it was still been around there when the Lord filled my heart with love, I'd have been hugging them old fat black women. You know that? Thank God. Hey, glory to God. Thank God. Thank the Lord. Why, beloved? He took away the hate that was down there. And he said, I'll give you a heart of flesh. And he said, this is a covenant I'll make with them after those days. I will put my laws in their heart. A while back, there was a Church of Christ preacher come down to the office. And he didn't know me, and he didn't know my brother Charles. But somebody told him there was a hole in his preacher down there, and he come down there to straighten him out. And I stood around there a good little while, and Charlie was busy, and he says, I went up to him. I said, is there something I can help you with? He says, no, I want to talk to him. I said, all right. He'll be with you after a while. finally found out what he wanted to talk about. So I sat down and talked with him a little while. And his argument was, if you had the Holy Ghost, you could quote the Bible. Because that's what it was given for. No scripture in the Bible to that effect, but other than the fact that he writes his law in our heart. But that was his argument. And when we got a little bit deeper into the Word of God, he stopped and he says, wait a minute. I'm not qualified to talk to you. He said, I never have seen anybody that could quote the scripture like you do. I said, well, I want to tell you something. When you leave here, I want you to remember, the reason I can quote the scripture to you is because I do have the Holy Ghost. But don't you go up there and tell your people that you met a man down here could quote the Bible, because the next time you see me, I probably can't. Brother Roger, did he say it's not you that speak, but it's the Holy Ghost that speaks in you? But if you don't have the Holy Ghost, you don't have a speaker. Be ye not drunken on wine, wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. Let's don't act like drunk folks. Brother, man was trying to talk to me just a while back about everybody committed sin. Everybody does it. Nobody can live free from sin. I said, well, isn't it strange that the disciples and apostles didn't know that? When you think about all of them that was martyred before they would literally commit one sin. They gave their lives. Some of them was sawn in two. That was pretty good. That was pretty rough. I even hate to have a little shot in my finger. Sawn in two. Some of them, according to history, was wrapped up in old animal skins and thrown out to starving dogs. Torn apart. Some of them was fed to wild animals. Some of them was burned with fire. Beloved, and all they had to do was sin one time, and they could have gone on their way rejoicing. Says, too bad they didn't know about your doctrine. Beloved, his doctrine is a doctrine of the devil. Today, I wished that every child of God among us would look at our own self. Poor brother LJ sitting over here. He's not, but he could be sitting over here thinking about something somebody said hurt his feelings 3 years ago. And the devil got all the power he ever had cut off because somebody hurt his feelings 3 years ago. Love it. If you got that kind of fettered spirit, you need your feelings hurt. If I went to Brother Harley Stevens' funeral, because many years ago I got acquainted with him, and I was on the road with a tractor trailer rig, and I started passing out, and I ended up down on the guff in the hospital, and I couldn't even tell you how long I was there. Finally got back home, and I had promised to go to church with these people on that Saturday night, and I couldn't even walk straight. Had to have some help to walk. And I hadn't been there to service, and I had promised to go, so Jerry and his wife says, we'll take you. And so they did. Went down there, and old Brother Harley was there. We talked about him, he's dead now, but he was there. During the service, he got to praying, and God got a hold of him. He laid hands on me. Monday morning, I got back in my old truck and went right back to work again. And the other day, we had his funeral. It's been many, many years ago, but I hadn't forgotten it. But you know what I did, Brother Rusty? I think crazy. But I walked by and he's laying there. Oh, he looked 25 years younger, laying there. And I walked by there and I thought, you know, I could just slap him. And he wouldn't say a word. You could spit on him, he wouldn't say a word. Because he's dead. He's dead. Well, beloved, if we're walking where we ought to be, we can get slapped. And we're going to have to turn the other cheek. Or we just proved to ourselves we're not walking where we ought to be. If we're puffed up, we're puffed up with a fleshly mind. Okay, I've taken up a lot of time. I guess I used up my time, but I want to go on with the difference in the natural mind and the spiritual mind. I want you to listen to it. Most of you can quote it right ahead of me. But the first one I said was adultery. Our nation has made a national disgrace. Whosoever puts away his wife and marrieth another, except it be for fornication, commits adultery against her. There's no change in that. The next one is fornication. Fornication is an aggravated form of adultery. It's an umbrella word, an inclusive word that includes several different things, but it certainly includes adultery and sodomy. You might want to have a scripture on that you, the men of Sodom and Gomorrah gave themselves over unto fornication. They were fornicators. They were sodomites. The first two, adultery, fornication, and the next one is uncleanness, a lasciviousness, a lustfulness. Looking after something with an unhealthy desire, unwholesome desire. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry. Beloved, the Word of God tells us to flee idolatry. Emulation, a desire to do at least as well or a little more than somebody else. Strife, emulation will create strife, so that's an exertion for superiority. Seditions. Emulation, strife causes sedition. It's a resistance to lawfully constituted authority, whether it's in a church or in a government, or like what's over in Iraq or Iran or India or Pakistan, all that. You got people that'll kill themselves to get to kill somebody else. Man, that's wanting to be mean bad. Heresies is a doctrine that slips in. Sometimes he calls them damnable heresies. Slips in that should not be among God's people. It's of the natural mind. Envying. Oh man, envy, jealousy is one of the cruelest things to get among people. Murdering. All these are the sins that is in a natural mind, and just to hate someone. Just not to have the love of God toward people makes us guilty of being a murderer. In other words, we're going to go just as far down in the bottomless pit for hating a brother as we'd go if we went and shot him. Drunkenness is next to the last one. Being intoxicated with, the dictionary says, or as with, strong drink. I've seen people You would talk with them, you'd think he was intoxicated. Have something on their mind, and that's all they'd talk about. And then the last one is reveling, taking intense delight or satisfaction in noisy, riotous, merrymaking or activity. Beloved, that is the separation between God's people and those who are not God's people. I want to for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to another, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. And then he goes on and tells you the things I just called over. But now, the fruit of the Spirit, what is in a child of God's life? If it's not there, we need to examine ourselves. The first one is love. And love will bring forth joy. You don't believe it, you just get your first great-grandson, and man, you'll love him so much, you just forget about being sick if you bring him around. Love. And the next one is joy. If there's not love among men and his wife, there's not much joy in that home either. But if there's enough love there, there can be some joy there. No greater love has any man have than this, that a man lay down his life. So we can examine ourselves and find out if we got the right kind of love. Love, joy, and the next one is peace. If you don't have love and you don't have joy, you're not going to be very peaceful. But if you got love and you got happiness and joy in your life, you'll be easy to get along with. Love, joy, peace, and long suffering. Word of God says charity suffers long and is kind. After he suffered long, he's still kind to people. Think about it. Gentleness, goodness, and then you get up there where you can have a little faith. Meekness and temperance. Against such there is no law, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lust. If you live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another and envying one another. I've taken up a lot of time again, but beloved, I want you to know something. We're in the last days. Just all around, I'm being called. When was it? Last year, I had to go home from revival twice to funerals. All around, I'm having to go to funerals here and funeral there. Last week, I was so tired. I've been in revivals and revivals, and I told my wife, I said, I'm so tired, I just want to get by myself and just rest. She says, why don't you drive down to the cabin and just stay a day or two? So I think I will. I drove all the way one night down to the Gulf, got down there, couldn't sleep all night. I got up the next morning, mowed the grass out in front of the cabin, took a little tractor and leveled a lot next door a little bit. Drove all the way back home and got back home just about the time Brother Harley died. Until today, I wouldn't exchange my life for anything in the world. But I know it's coming to a close. And I want you to know something. I'm not anywhere I go, I'm not looking to win a popularity contest, and you can tell very easily that I'm not likely to. But I'm going to tell you, there is one heart and one way given to mankind. And this book right here is the infallible Word of God. And Gert, if I fail to obey this, I'll spend eternity. Everything I have ever done, all the revivals, all the funerals, all the prayers I've prayed for the sick, everything I've ever done, the Word of God said it'll never be mentioned at that day if I fail. But if I don't fail, all that stuff I done back yonder that God forgave me, He'll never mention that. I'm counting on it, boys. Because I died to my way one time. And man, I'm glad of it. I know what it is to be happy. I know what it is to have joy. And the happiest people I ever remember in my life was people that many times didn't know where their next meal was coming from for their whole family. And you know what they would do? They would do just like Jesus said. They would seek God. And God provided for them. Sometimes unreal, unrealistic, unbelievable, but God provided for them. And guess what? Those same people. Listen, I'll try to get out of the way here in a minute, but I want to tell you about old Uncle Walter and Aunt Dee. Way back young, I was talking about being born in the heart of the Depression. People don't know what it is to be in a depression. I'm talking about where we had nothing. They was going down the road, and they didn't have anything to speak of, living in an old log house down there on the river, Tennessee River. They found some people living under a bridge up there. You know what they did? They took them home with them. If they're going to live on nothing, they give part of it to them, whatever that amounted to. What I'm telling you is, God has blessed that place because of people like them that was there. And until this day, I like to kind of irritate some of a brethren there, because that church, the original Holiness Church in Morgan County, Alabama, sitting there. You drive by and you've got 15 or 20 cars here, 15 or 20 over there, 6 or 8 over there, and you get down there and they lined all the way up and down the road. And the people come out, politicians and what have you. But all the so-called Pentecostalism, see, there's no such thing as a Pentecostal church in the Bible. God's way is called the way of holiness. But I like to aggravate the boys there, because that little church is in the history books as being the original first holiness church in that part of the country. The way I aggravate them, I tell them my name's in the history book and theirs ain't. Which means absolutely nothing other than, to me, it's a great honor that the original Way of Holiness Church is not only still standing but flourishing right in the neighborhood where it started. And instead of being 6 people like it started with, one old preacher come through, preached the Word of God, 6 people received the Holy Ghost. Now, there are literally thousands claiming holiness through the area. I'm thankful that he said it's like a barrel of meal that somebody come by and just puts leaven in. The whole thing is leaven. Y'all pray for me. Hope I get to see you again. But I hope that the next time I come up here, I can see 2 or 3 folks that has decided that they've been in sin long enough and they're going to give their life to the Lord. because God is calling people. And I'm going to warn you about something. It sounds a little strange right now, but you'll see it. There are some spirits that are extremely strong and will be manifest a whole lot more in time to come. Just well, look out for it. There are spirits that are strong enough to turn mothers against their children, fathers against their children, husbands against their wives, wives against their husbands. These spirits are in the world. You can have power over them, but you can't do it with a natural mind. You have to die and be dead to your own ways. You all pray for me, and if you all are ready, we'll go to God in prayer. If you want salvation, we'd like to pray with you again.